Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is Kelly Jakes. Kelly is the author of the best-selling book, Martinis and Menopause, Strategies, Science, and Sips That Empower Women. Kelly is a dental hygienist and has a master's degree in communication and adult education. She travels the country educating dentists and dental hygienists on subjects related to self-care. She believes that self-care is the most important thing you can do and has started Oxygen Please, which educates and urges dental professionals to take charge of their own physical and mental health. Kelly is also a passionate women's health advocate and a role model for women who seek to raise themselves up from limiting situations so they can become their best self and live their best lives. She has walked the path of self-liberation and has an inspiring story to share with all of us today. Kelly, welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you have found the time to join us.
Thank you, Georgiana. I'm just delighted to be here.
Well, I know how terribly busy you are. You are talking and presenting all over the country. Are you not on the subject you're so passionate about, which is self-care and health education? And you kind of do, we do the same thing. I'm a medical educator and you are as well. So this is going to be a fun conversation. And we had a great pre-interview and I really enjoyed speaking to you, hearing your story. So I'd love you to share with the audience your backstory, because I think part of what makes your story really interesting, Kelly, is that not only are you doing the work you're doing, which of course in and of itself is very interesting and exciting, but you have actually done the very thing that you invite a lot of other people to do. You found yourself in a life that really wasn't fulfilling your passion and your heart and your true self. And you turned your life around and you're now doing what you love. You're helping lots of people. You have found your heart and your soul. And what could be more exciting? So can you take us on that journey from when you grew up in small town Oregon and then bring us up to where you are now?
I'm sure I'll try to do the 5 decades in a very short time for your list here. Sure, I was born in a very small town with, you know, no diversity of thought, let alone people. And I was a very committed evangelical religious person back then as a younger woman. So I did not go to college out of high school. I was a straight A student, very focused and determined to be successful. And yet I didn't go to college. I did not have parents or family who had been to college. So I didn't have encouragement from that sector. But anyway, so I went to more of a Bible school, missionary school, and ended up staying with that organization for 10 years. And during that 10 years is when, I got married as a very, very young woman. And had 2 lovely children during that decade. But by the time I hit the age of 30, I realized I needed to get back to the roots of who I was. And that is a woman who wants to be successful in the world and wants to reach many people in the world. And so I knew that to do any of that, I needed to educate myself. And so I was a very late bloomer, transitional student. I started my first college courses at age 30. And I started college and I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted more and a different life. We were very economically disadvantaged at that time. And I knew I wanted more. So I went to school and I didn't know what to do except that it had to be something in medicine or dentistry, because I knew that those jobs were abundant and that they made a pretty good return on your investment. So as I started school, I took pre-nursing classes, even though I never wanted to be a nurse. I didn't know enough about nursing to know that it would be something that I might enjoy. So, but I did take pre-nursing because I knew I had to do some math and science. And on that journey, I met students who were in pre-dental hygiene. And I did not know even about that profession, that a person could become a dental hygienist. And I was fortunate enough in my small town to have parents who did take me to the dentist every 6 months. So I was familiar with the office, and it was a positive experience for me. So I met these people because dental hygiene and nurses have the same prerequisites of sciences and math to get into their programs. So I switched my major, declared it as dental hygiene. And it was a long journey because I had two young children and I had to work, but it took me 5 years, but I did graduate top third of my class with at age 35.
Wow, so it took a while yes. to accomplish that. Kelly, what mm-hmm. was it specifically about dental health that attracted you? I mean, most young women would have kind of romanticized the nursing call, you know, because Florence mm-hmm. Nightingale and, you know, the whole thing. What was it
right.
about dental health that really called to you?
What I remembered as a young girl and what I appreciated as I went through my schooling was the fact that as a dental hygienist, not only is your job focused on prevention, right? Instead of treating disease, we are preventing disease. And that just really resonated with me. And in fact, I take disease prevention even today when I'm speaking to my audiences about self-care. That's really what I'm doing, is talking about prevention of disease. And also, the second thing about the dental hygienist role is you think about when you go into a dental office, that's the person that most patients have the greatest relationship with on the dental team, because you spend the most time with the dental hygienist. Usually the dentist will pop in at the end for a quick examination, perhaps, unless you do need dental treatment, then you will go spend time with the dentist. But I really love that aspect of getting to know people and communicating with people, having those kinds of relationships with
yes,
patients.
Unfortunately, though, when you go to the dental hygienist, it's a one-way conversation because you can't talk. I mean, you know, I just want to share this with you, you know, just to, you know, I mean, at my age, I've been to so many dentists and had so many hygienists, and it's really humorous when, you know, you've got this lovely, charming dental hygienist who's very sweet, and you're in the chair, and she's talking to you and asking
yes.
you questions, and you're like, ah, ah, ah. It's really it's comical, actually. You know, so
yes.
Tell the audience something. Did you develop like a technique where you could talk without asking questions and just kind of distract and entertain the patient, or what was your technique?
Well, you know, I always like to have a few minutes before laying the patient back in the chair and getting started, right? And
right.
catching up on them. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in one office for nearly 10 years. So I watched children grow up. I watched families change. I took care of elders from the patients would bring in their elderly parents. So, you know, I really got to know them. And so I would, of course, right away when they came in, update me what's going on, right? And then we got going. So that's how I did it. I always wanted to make sure that I touched the patient personally and emotionally before getting started.
Right, but you didn't have the rah, rah, rah during the
Oh,
visit.
Sometimes. Oh, yes, sometimes.
it's really funny. So, okay, so you fell in love with dentistry, and I'm being honest with you, I've never heard, and I've been in medicine longer, my kids say, Mom, you're as old as trees, but I've been in healthcare a really long time, and I've never heard anyone really embrace. I think it's marvelous that you really saw the value and you embraced the preventative. I mean, nurses, it's really not preventative at all, even though, you know, you talk to them more than you talk to the doctor. But what you saw the value in that, and how marvelous, and that's exactly what you're doing today, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. The message is just broadened to include, you know, a lot more than just sitting in the dental chair.
Right. And one of the kind of, there are two stories running. They're running at the same time with you. One is your professional story, which, of course, we're going to hear more about. But the other one is that you started off, and I can totally relate to this because I grew up, I was born in the 40s, grew up in the 50s and 60s, and at that time, women had a couple of choices for a career. You could become a teacher, you could become a nurse, or you could get married and raise children. And so you kind of fell into that same, you know, you were kind of in that same area. And what you did, if you don't mind my sharing this, you very intelligently thought about, what do I want to do with my life? You looked at where you were. You looked at your responsibility as a parent. You looked at the marriage you were in, which you knew was not going to go to fruition. And you very intelligently designed your life to be able to allow you to change the direction of where you were going. Yes?
Yes, that is true. Yes. When I started going to school at age 30, the marriage was already in a rocky place because we were two different people who, in my opinion, got married very too young and did not really know who we were, right?
Right.
And
right.
So the growth didn't happen together. And so anyway, I knew that I looked around and, you know, I had done waitressing as a young woman many times and even through school. And I looked at these women who were in their 40s and 50s and, you know, making minimum wage. And I said to myself, no, I have to figure out a way that I can provide for myself, provide for my family. And so that's why I stayed the course, one reason, in school, because I knew that when school was over, the marriage would end as well. And I had planned for that. And in fact, my previous spouse, we had talked about that. This was on the table. And so I knew I had to create a new life for myself. And I wanted a life that would provide for me and my children. And so that is, well, I was very strategic in those types of decisions and those types of choices. For
I
my
think that,
life.
That is so important because one of the things, I think this is maybe not today as applicable as it was back in the day, but I think that women really need to, I have a 26-year-old daughter, and I always say to her, you need to take a look at the strategic approach you're taking to your life. You know, it's always been said women are emotional and you know, men are rational. Well, I think women are getting a lot more rational. And what we realize is that it does take a lot of clarity. It takes a lot of focus and energy and courage. When we were talking, you said something. You were talking about what you had been through. And you said, yeah, well, there was a lot of pain and tears and, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into becoming your own person and
yes.
fulfilling your dreams and following your heart. And I think one of the messages and one of the reasons I wanted to interview you is because you have created a process of education that comes out of your own informed growth and your own informed development. And that's just marvelous because when we can hear from people who've been there and done that, and they can share our experience. I think that's more important than education. You know, education, I'm educated, you're educated, you know, what have you. But education is just one component. It's only one component of knowledge and wisdom. And so experience is really important. So tell us, we're coming close to our first commercial break, but tell us a bit about, okay, now you're 30 years old, you're divorced from a very different world, you know, that you're heading
yes.
towards. You've gotten divorced, you're getting a job, you go to school, you're out of school, you're starting your first job. What happened in that 10 years that began to invite you into looking at becoming a medical educator and an educator. We're only going to have a couple of minutes, so take us on the first leg from practicing as a dental hygienist to actually understanding where your heart and where your ambition is.
Sure. Well, you are right. I changed completely from a stay-at-home mom to a career person through that five-year journey of education, a career woman. And so for me, in dentistry, as in medicine, as in education, as in many professions, you have to go to continuing education courses, right? You have to have so many continuing education hours to re-up your licensure every year or every other year. And so I would go to these courses during these years as a younger dental hygienist, and I would sit there and listen to these people spewing science and things that were supposed to help me in my everyday clinical practice. And it was so boring. It was like, I said to myself, I can do that better. I can take a scientific piece of information, a fact, a whatever, and give it to an audience in a way that the people can use it in their daily lives. So that was an impetus for me to say, this is awful and I want to change this and I can do it better. And I want to get paid to speak. That became my new goal as I was working away in my operatory. I want to get paid to speak. So that is like step one of the next part of my journey, was my goal and my desire to change up my life again and be able to use my science-based background and yet perhaps traject off into a different area.
Okay, so you realized in your professional life, as it were, through your continuing education requirements, that you said, I think this is calling me. And you went in a direction that you probably didn't even think you'd be going in.
That's true, right?
Right. Yes. So it's funny because, you know, I have to share with you, I don't know if you are, but I'm a big fan of Maya Angelou's quotes. She has some of the most wonderful quotes, you know, if you get into her work. And one of the quotes that she says is, ask for what you want and be prepared to get it. So if you ask that you want to find your passion, or if you ask that you want to do something that will create your desire, you have to be prepared, and Kelly, you were prepared. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back in just a moment or two, so no one go anywhere, and we will be back very shortly with Kelly Jakes.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance. a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And we are back with Kelly Jakes, the author of the best-selling book, Martinis and Menopause, Strategies, Science, and Sips That Empower Women. We're going to talk a lot about menopause, but I just want to share your wonderful story because you really have provided an example to all of us about how we can create what we want. I mean, when you decided you wanted to do something, you did it, and you made
yes.
it happen. And
yes.
I, a lot of times when I'm speaking to guests, they'll think their book or they'll think something they did was like their great accomplishment. And yet when you look at the whole picture of their story, it's like, whoa, I mean, that kind of, you know, there's more to it that meets the eye. And I think that is true for you as well. And I say that because today in your life, and we're going to fill in all the space in between, you are the mother of two happily developed grown children. You are in a very wonderful marriage. You are fulfilling your dream of being an international, maybe a national, maybe international speaker and
yes.
educator. And you've really accomplished everything you've wanted. And so I think that is something definitely worth talking about and worth celebrating. So, Kelly, you decided that you were going to be a speaker and you were going to make money, and you told me that you spoke to another gal who was doing what you wanted to do, and she allowed you to work with her, and that's where you got your skills, and then from there you started contacting different organizations and getting different gigs, talking to dental associations. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, an important piece of that right prior to that part of my story was I said, I want to get paid to speak, so what do I need to do? And it's kind of like your Maya Angelou quote. If you want something, you better be be prepared to get it, and you better be prepared to work for it. And so I decided I needed a master's degree because I wasn't just going to go out into the world and start, you know, speaking. I wanted the credentials. I wanted the authority that came with a master's degree. And so I did do a master's degree in communication and adult education. And I knew that that would position me differently within my profession of dentistry. It would also allow me greater breadth in any kind of professional endeavor to have that master's of communication and adult education. So as I was beginning my business to speak at conferences, I also was teaching public speaking at the university level through my degree. So I had a lot of training of how to be a presenter and how to reach an audience with your messages. And I'm, you know, I'm very grateful for that part of my education and training. And along the way, we talked the other day, is that I'm also, I love to act. I love to be on the stage. I love to tell stories through the medium of acting, singing, and dancing. And so for me to learn how to be a professional, proficient, and successful speaker from the stage, all of those acting abilities also played into my education, you could say.
Sure, sure. And those are skills that are definitely applicable to certainly a speaker or an educator.
Right. Yep. So, yes, that's how I got started. I was teaching, I was co-teaching a leadership course at the university level to undergraduates. And I had a friend who was doing a leadership conference for dental hygienists in another state. And I reached out to her and asked her if I could come. I'll pay my own way. I want to be a part of this conference. I want to speak with you, share the stage with you. And she graciously allowed me to do that. And in fact, I co-wrote the conference course with her. And that was my start, because it was a very well-attended conference. And from that conference, I got two other bookings. And so that is how it all started, very organically. And it all started within my profession. And now I go farther afield as well, outside of my profession, to speak and tell my messages.
Right. So tell us about that. I mean, you are passionate about the dental profession. So you do like to speak at dental conferences, but now you are branching out, and this is how we're going to segue into the subjects that you talk about, because you have very specific things like menopause and inflammation and prevention and anti-aging. So what are you doing in the medical field today? Are you also doing professional education? Is this an area that you see yourself? What's on the horizon for you, Kelly? I mean, do you see yourself going more deeply into that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I feel I really want to take my message broader. I have a great passion, of course, for women, because I am a woman and have all the things I've gone through as a woman. I have a great passion for women. I also have a great passion for healthcare providers, other healthcare providers, Georgiana, whether that's nurses or PTs, OTs, doctors, because I feel as medical and dental providers, it's so easy to not take care of ourselves. We put our patients first. We put our profession first. We put our jobs first. And the healthcare provider themselves gets neglected. And that's why how we fall into ill health. That's why we are not living our most vibrant, beautiful, active selves. And when we are in that place of taking care of ourselves, then we care so much better for the world and for our patients and our families, et cetera. So yes, I wrote the book. I use this platform because I want to speak and give my message of hope and empowerment to take care of yourself to other healthcare providers. So yes, I am working on that.
Wonderful. And you also started a project which I think comes out of the airplane direction. You know,
yes.
if the masks drop down, put yours on first before you try to help anyone else, especially your children. And you started a project called Oxygen, Please. So,
yes.
And you, why don't you talk with us about that? And did the title come from the airplane thing?
You are exactly right. Yes, the title came from the example that we all get every time we get on a plane to fly anywhere. And
exactly.
Believe me, I'm on a lot of planes. But yes, Oxygen, Please. It's my new keynote, my new workshop. I can do it in a 45-minute keynote, or I can go to a half-day workshop on taking care of yourself, the self-care, right? And so I have a lot of elements within that project of Oxygen, Please, but a couple of the elements are you believing in yourself, having that faith and self-efficacy that you are who you are and what you're doing is worthwhile. Because I think so many of us, and I'm sure you may be able to relate to this, Georgiana, as a woman, so many women fill their minds with head trash, right? They sabotage their own day. Oh, I look horrible in this. Oh, these clothes don't fit. Oh, I'm so fat. Oh, my hair didn't do what I wanted it today. Oh.
Yeah.
So head
yeah.
trash
mm-hmm.
is a huge barrier for many people to be themselves, their best selves, live their best selves. So we talk about that. I talk a lot about also investing in yourselves. I think many people, particularly women as a gender, you know, they want to give away their last pennies, you know, for everyone else in their life. Everyone in their life, right? Their parents, their children, their coworkers, their loved ones, their spouse. And many people do not take the time to invest in themselves. Even if the investment is, hey, I need to get a new pair of sneakers because I need to get out there walking. Get my sexy sweat on. I need a new pair of sneakers. I'm going to buy these for myself, mm-hmm. right?
Well, you know what it is? I mean, if you really look at the neurobiology of the female, our whole system seems to be geared towards bringing forth life and protecting it. And so the drive, the primitive imperative that's inside of us as females is to nurture. And unfortunately, as you know, you're the mom of two. When you have children, you are the caterpillar that must die and birth the butterfly. And so this is a real challenge, and I'm sure that you have experienced it. I know I have. I have three kids, and I'm a professional woman, and of course my children had to always come first, and you know you're always conflicted to some extent about it. But even after they grow up, even after your children are launched and on their own, there is an innate, instinctive, I think, kind of hardwiring in the female. Not all women are like this, but for most of us, we can't kind of stop that nurturing, and it becomes second nature. And I think it's a real challenge what you're talking about. And yeah, you know, we're always putting other people first. Our resources go to other people, and the question mm-hmm. is, how do you stop that? how do you change that? Because it's almost kind of inbred into the gender.
Right. And that's why I think it starts with that, the self-care of getting still and quiet with yourself, knowing who you are, knowing what you need, knowing what your goals are. Because in this fast-paced world, not too many people actually slow down every day. You know, whether you call that meditation, whether you call that prayer, whether you call that quiet time, whether you call it doing your daily affirmations, whatever it is, journaling. People need to get clear and connect with who they are. And I think that is very powerful, and I think it's missing in many, many, most individuals in the world. Because if you can spend a few minutes a day really connecting with who you are, your mind will be clear. And definitely. You will then free up this space to know
right.
what you need to do for yourself.
And this whole conversation that we're having right now is a segue into the bigger conversation about your book.
Yes.
And about menopause and about
yes.
menopause. And when we were doing the pre-interview, I mentioned Women in Madness by Phyllis Chesler, who back in the day, you're quite a bit younger than me. So back in the day, I don't know whether you were probably a toddler when Phyllis was writing her book and talking about the fact that women's physiology, you know, it was B.F. Skinner that said, biology is destiny. And I think that there, even in today's world of a lot more advantages than when I was growing up, biology still seems to be destiny because there are drives that are hormonally driven to have babies, you know, to nest and to do all those things. And when we're coming out of that, the other end is menopause. And you and I talked, and I personally think that menopause is probably the least understood and the least researched subject in medicine because it is completely and totally limited to women. And for decades, there was no research, none whatsoever, going on about menopause. And
right.
that may have changed a little bit now. But because it was a woman's thing, we were relegated to madness and to craziness and hysteria and all of these conditions
mm-hmm.
that even Freud talked about and said, oh, yes, you know, women are hysterics. So let's talk about this because, you know, you talk about the physiological and what women can do to cope with, you know, I love what you call it. You call it the hormone groan.
Groan.
The groaning of the hormones coming and going. And I like to talk about the brain function and the deep unconscious psychological evolution. But talk to us about, we know what it is. We know that over the course of a certain number of years, the body slows down, the hormones slow down. And as the hormones are slowing down, the metabolism slows down, and of course, functions change. So when this takes place, what is the information that you like to give women for them to cope better with the hormone groan?
Well, thank you. I wrote a whole book about it, as you know. And the 10 chapters really cover 10 of the most common symptoms that some women experience. We all have a different experience going through menopause. But if I had to distill down, Georgiana, to just a couple of points, in the back of the book, my appendix is the Fantastic Four. And there are four things that we as women can do and pay attention to that will ease our journey significantly through the hormone groan and to the other side of menopause. And mm-hmm. briefly, of course, those are exercise. She is the queen. Exercise. I tell women, you really don't have a choice if you want to feel better and live better. You have to get moving. If it's difficult for you, start with, you know, 3 times a week at 30 minutes. But the book is chock full of examples of that. The second one is the food choices we make. When we are eating high sugared foods, high starches, and processed foods, we are just dumping inflammation into our bodies in every way, in our joints, in our muscles, in our organs, the fat stores we lay down. And so food choices are something we all have power over and can change. And so I talk a lot about, of course, eating healthy and what that might look like for you. And then, of course, I talk about hormone replacement therapy, and you and I have had a short conversation on that. Hormone therapy, bioidentical hormones, helps many women through this transition.
I'm a big fan. I got to tell you, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan too.
I had it in my 50s, and I had to discontinue because I was taking estrogen unopposed, which means mm-hmm. that my uterus was swelling, and I had to stop because I couldn't take the progesterone. And I was just so sad about it. And then in my, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I went back on bioidentical cream, which was balanced with the progesterone. And I have to tell you, it is a life changer. Ladies, if you're listening, men, if you're listening and your wife is going through this, unless there is, of course, a contraindication with a history of certain kinds of cancers, breast cancers, what have you.
Sure.
Please tell them about bioidentical hormone. It really does raise the whole quality of your life.
Yes, it totally does. And, back in the day, our mothers, our grandmothers, any woman on a hormone therapy, it was just one size fits all. And we're not talking about that. Today, it's very different. It's a very individualized prescription for each woman. And, there's various testing that practitioners do. But back in the day, they also didn't really want to put women on hormone replacement until later, like after postmenopause. But now all the research is showing that to get on hormone replacement earlier in your transitional years protects your brain, protects your bones, and a myriad of other things. Your emotional life becomes much more balanced. So, on this short radio program, the best advice I can give to you listeners, if you want to explore hormone replacement therapy, is to go to the North American Menopause Society website, North American Menopause Society, and they have a practitioner finder where you can put in your zip code and find someone who does deal in these women's health issues. So that's my bioidentical commercial. And then, of course, the fourth one, Georgiana, is sleep.
Oh, God, yes.
Sleep.
Something we never got as mothers, right?
Elusive sleep, yes. And as an aging woman, it is so very important that we get back to that 7 to 9 hours a night. And so my book is full of sleep hygiene. Is a word I love as a dental hygienist. I love the word sleep hygiene.
And you love the word hygiene, yes.
Yeah. So,
Kelly, we're going to take another short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We want to talk more about the other subjects you teach, maybe the other books you're going to write about. So don't go away, everyone. We will be back with Kelly very shortly.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of Health Corp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior.
Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And we're back with Kelly Jakes, the author of the best-selling book, Martinis and Menopause, Strategies, Science, and Sips That Empower Women. I want to know what the sips are. Are the sips to have martinis?
It's a great question. I always get asked that. Why is martinis in your title? The word martini has a dual purpose for my book. Of course, remember I talked earlier about making science fun. And, you know, sometimes when you're learning these, what's going on with your body, it's not always good news, right? We have to work through some issues. And so the martini is kind of a nod to don't forget to have fun in your life and bring some, you know, laughter into the situation. So in the book, each chapter has a martini and a mocktini recipe. I'm not a proponent of alcohol abuse in any way. And many women can't or don't want to have alcohol. So I have a mocktini recipe also that goes along with the chapter. I tried to make the recipes. I work with a mixologist. So the recipes are kind of a tongue-in-cheek with the symptoms. So, for instance, hot flash chapter will have a martini with perhaps cucumber, which is a cooling food, cooling factor, or mint, which is cooling. Right. So I tried to do that with my recipes. But the larger implication of martinis and menopause is the martini in my talks, in my book, is a metaphor for hanging out with people who love you, who get you, who understand you. Because one of the hallmarks of women going through menopause is they feel alone. They feel isolated. They think they're the only ones going through this. And ladies, you are not alone. By 2020, which is just a couple years from now, we're going to have over 50 million women in the United States.
Wow.
At the menopausal age. Right.
Wow.
So that means 50 million of us are going through it right now. So you're not alone, but it's a fallacy that we believe we are alone because our bodies are changing so rapidly. Perhaps our brains are acting in ways we're not used to. And so we feel isolated. But the martini is for to remind you, get out and get with your friends who believe in you, who love you. I like to tell people it doesn't matter what you're drinking. Doesn't matter if it's water, martini, anything. Doesn't matter what you're drinking. It matters who are you drinking with.
Right.
Where's your people?
Let's talk about the taboo subject, okay?
Sure.
Why menopause is such an emotional trauma for women. Not all women. We talked about a third of women going through menopause. Mm-hmm. They have a terrible, terrible, hellish time. A third of the women have kind of somewhat of a, you know, struggle a little bit, but it's not devastating. And some women don't even know they're going through it. Third.
Right.
And it seems to break down into a third, and a third. And however, there's something that hits almost all of us when we're going through menopause, and that's I'm not the same woman I used to be. And, you know, I did a little survey myself on this and asked women lots of questions. Women noticed men no longer did a double take. Men no longer looked at them the same way. They said they felt as if an aura had left them, whether it was their pheromones that had changed and the aura or what they were projecting, you know, chemically and energetically was different. But women across the board would say they felt that their sexual appeal, their attraction, their biological imperative, to men didn't see them the same way. And this is kind of like the dark side of it, isn't it? Because let's face it, you know, we all want to be desirable. We all want to be loved. We all want to be attractive. And if we're single, and there are millions and millions of single menopausal women out there, this can really be a little bit of a challenge. So how do you address that, Kelly?
Well, you did hit it on the head. It is a pretty complete change of how you view yourself and how you walk through the world. And how I deal with it is, again, going back to that kind of stress-relieving, knowing who you are. You need to understand, right, we as women, that as we get to the other side of menopause, there are some really great things. And to be able to step into your power, it's wonderful not to have periods ever again. It's wonderful that I can have a sexual relationship and never worry about getting pregnant, right? It's wonderful. And so I think as a woman, you do have to shift your thinking because what you described does happen. But there's not just one factor, as you know, that brings us to that place. A lot of it is how our culture views aging, how our culture views the aging woman. And so part of my campaign around this book and for women is there is no shame in menopause. There is no shame in aging. It's a normal, natural process. So how are we going to do it our best selves? That's my messaging. We're going to age.
Yes.
The hormones are going to change.
Well, we live in a culture that pathologizes natural things like giving birth to a baby, okay, or going through menopause. We make them medical conditions, medical imperatives. I'll share with you, I had all three of my babies at home with midwives. Of course, we had a backup, there was a backup OBG, should that be necessary, but it wasn't. And I was in my 40s when I had all three children. And the pathologizing, I mean, people were ranting and raving, and I had my babies back in the 80s, and they were going, oh my God, you're high risk, you're going to die, the kids will all be retarded. I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible, and they made a pathology. And there are more women today in their 40s giving birth to their first child than ever before. And the point is that a lot of it is what we do and what we value. Like you said, aging. How sad, because, you know, in other cultures, like I'm Italian and over in Italy, the 50, 60-year-old woman is considered ripe. She is considered the hot sexy, and even women into their early 70s and 70s, they're considered the mature, passionate, mm-hmm. experienced women. So a lot of this is cultural. And
yes.
And we need to kind of invite and take a look at that obsession with youth. Tell me about inflammation. Now, are you, I know you talk a lot about inflammation. Are you going to be writing a book about it? Tell us more about what you, what's ahead for Kelly Jakes and where you're going with your writing and with your speaking.
Thank you. I do a lot of speaking about inflammation, and because inflammation, as we know, and we're learning more every single day, is the foundation of almost every single disease we have in our bodies. And particularly when I speak to dental health audiences, it very much connects to oral health with whole health. So I talk a lot about that. And what we can do as prevention, of course, how do we prevent inflammation in your body? So, but as to my next writing, it's very interesting. I have always said, well, I wrote this book, Martinis and Menopause, and perhaps my next book should be Manhattans and Manopause, because we have not talked about andropause, which is the, you know, medical term for what men
right.
go through as they're aging.
Right.
And talk about taboo. I mean, we barely talk about menopause now, but nobody's yeah. talking about what men are going
yeah.
through.
Well, and but you know something, they have cycles like we do. I talk to a lot of guys and they say, oh yeah, every 60 to 90 days, I can feel my body's going through something. And they call it testopause or, you know,
mm-hmm.
andropause. And
yeah.
because they're on the same kind of endocrine cycle as we are, but their cycles are flatter than ours. They
mm-hmm.
don't have the peaks and the highs and the lows and the dips
right.
and all that other stuff. So that would be a great book for you to write about. That would be awesome. Then all of the wives
yeah.
can understand their husband's bizarre behavior. You know how men are always talking about our bizarre behavior? You know?
Well, and men too. You look at men over 50, how many of them have a big old paunch and they've gained weight around the middle too?
Yes. Absolutely.
That also is a result of their androgen change.
That's
and
right. Yeah.
And then, you know, we could go into the bedroom, all the changes that happen there, both
well,
men and women during
absolutely.
This age of life.
I just want to insert something. If anybody's listening and you want to know about how, if you have a bladder problem after menopause or you've lost your sex drive, please, there is something called an O shot. And I mean, I'm so excited about this thing. I want to do a show about it. It's a protein-rich plasma. And they're using these injections to help erectile dysfunction and to help women who have lost their sex drive. All you have to do is send me an email, you know, or send me a message at the website, Living Above the Drama, and I'd be delighted to tell you more about it. But Kelly, this has been a fascinating walk through your life as well as
well,
walk through the work that you're doing, and we're going to look forward to hearing more about upcoming books. But for now, where can people go to get your book and your blog? You have a blog that we want to talk about as well.
Right. Thank you. Yes. Well, my book is available, of course, on Amazon.com. Martinis and Menopause.
Mm-hmm.
It'll pop right up there. But I have a website I like to tell people about, and it's my name. So it's KellyJakes.com. KellyJakes.com. And I also have martinisandmenopause.com, spelling the and out, martinisandmenopause.com. And on both those sites, I do a health and wellness blog. I put it out two or three times a month, both in audio and often in video. And I would invite you, your listeners, to sign up for the blog. Go on either of these websites and give me your email address, and I'll be happy to send you the blogs. And they're full of interesting and very applicable information. It's not just knowledge-based, but it's action-based. What can you do?
Yes, yeah.
I try to have that in every one of my blogs.
Oh, that's fantastic. Kelly, you have been just a delight and a pleasure. Thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge and your information. And we so really appreciate the work that you're doing. And thank you, the dental profession, because, you know, as I remember when I was growing up, nobody had pretty teeth. Today, everybody looks fabulous. So it's really wonderful. Blessings. Thank you. And listeners, don't forget to come back next week for another inspiring and informational program on Living Above the Drama.